Good morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Rower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. My cohort here is basically busy producing another protein shake for himself and slapping mosquitoes. Somehow we got a bunch of mosquitoes in here last night. So
I'm glad you're here and you can open today.
I figured it'd be kind of fun that way. But here we are again. So we're having fun with you guys today.
We have got mosquitoes in the studio. And I don't know where they came from. Actually, I do know where they came from. They came from hell.
We have to ask God we get to heaven what mosquitoes are all about.
I guarantee you he didn't make these. This is
some
all
kind
Nephilim.
Of Nephilim stuff?
Yeah, I don't think he was like, you know what?
Some type of hybrid.
I'm making mosquitoes. That's what I'm making with my day. I don't think he did that. I don't believe he would do that.
That and fleas.
I can deal with mosquitoes better than fleas.
Fleas are awful.
At least the mosquitoes, sometimes you get the satisfaction of being able to kill them.
Let me tell you a funny story. This happened to me. This is moi. You know, I've been married once before, Sharon. Maybe you guys knew that. Maybe you didn't for a couple of years. And I remember my first wife had a cat. And
you cat love was, cats.
Oh, yeah. I love cats, especially in the house. And I remember we had bought a house in Tallahassee, brand new house. And suddenly I'm walking across the living room floor. I got black specks all over me.
Oh, yeah. The best.
Yeah, and I'm looking, and then the biting. So all of a sudden, now I'm up on the furniture. I'm walking around the house on top of the furniture, not to get on the floor. And I said to my wife, I said, "What are we doing here? The house is brand new and it's filled with fleas." So now we're having to take a brand new house and put flea bombs everywhere.
Those are fun.
Well, no, they're not okay because what happens is you only kill the existing fleas. You don't kill the eggs.
Your life cycle kicks back over.
No, so about a week later, we're back on the furniture walking around again. And I said, this is a nightmare. So finally, we got a flea comb. A flea comb.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we combed this cat. It had over 500 fleas on it.
You put them, scrape it off, put in oil?
Yeah. Cat's name was Sheba. Never forget this.
Sheba.
Yeah, black cat.
Sheba.
Great cat.
Isn't that like an old Greek god or something?
I don't know what it was, but it was a nightmare. And finally, we combed that cat probably for about 2 weeks. Finally, got down to like no fleas. And guess what? All the fleas were gone in the house. It worked really well.
It's a good feeling.
But no, the fleas. Oh, the fleas. And I have no idea why we started the show with that.
We segued off mosquitoes. And then
talk about how God didn't make mosquitoes and didn't make the fleas.
It's like, I don't know if he really made gators. They put gators on the ark.
He probably made gators for the life cycle of the lakes and the ponds.
I don't think they need to be on the ark, though. I think they survived.
No, they don't have to be on the ark. there was plenty of dead things to eat while they were flying.
They survived just fine.
He didn't have to put any fish on the ark either. Oh, by the way, this is a great article. Get back to the show now. Jim Caviezel says that Jesus spoke to him literally while filming the crucifixion scene for the Passion of the Christ. He was with me when I was on the cross, the actor who portrayed Jesus recounts. The star of Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ told Raymond Araro that he heard Jesus Christ speaking to him during the filming of the crucifixion scene. In an interview posted to the social media on Wednesday, Jim Caviezel tells the popular host that he experienced an interior locution as he underwent the grueling experience as he acted in the last hours of Christ's passion. Jesus spoke to him, he says. He was with me when I was on the cross, the actor recounts. I had this internal dialogue, and he said, "Am I too close?" And that's when the doctor's putting a stethoscope on my heart, and I was struggling with breathing. See, when you have your arms up like that on a cross,
oh, yeah,
it makes it hard to breathe.
It's meant to kill you.
It's meant to suffocate you. And I said, "You're not close enough," and I cried when I said that. Caviezel recalls that this was the end of the scene, and at the same time, he was blue with cold. He intimates that he was no longer acting. He was suffering real hardship and real dangers during the crucifixion scene. While carrying the cross, he had fallen, dislocating his left shoulder and biting through his tongue and his cheek. I didn't know all this.
Jeez.
Wow. His dislocated shoulder caused him great pain, and his arms were stretched out on the cross. The actors experienced other injuries during the 79 days of filming. During the shoot, the scourging of the pillar, he was actually struck by the metal-tipped whip, leaving a scar. He also suffered from pneumonia. During the Sermon on the Mount, the last scene of the film to be shot, he was struck by lightning. Isn't that interesting?
That's
filming of the Passion of the Christ ended with Caviezel being taken away in a medic van. Afterward, he underwent two heart surgeries.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. However, Caviezel also grew spiritually from the experience, portraying the Savior, and passes on what he had learned. I always say, I never played him, he said, R.O. He played me. Let God play you. Wow. They're coming out with a new movie now. It's going to be another great one. He's going to be playing Jesus again after the resurrection. So I really suggest that everybody goes to see it. I know Mel Gibson did this movie, and it ended up doing like 700, 800 million in sales. It was like the largest R-rated movie ever as far as box office gross at that point. Probably still is, honestly. And, you know, my hat's off to Jim Caviezel. I really like the guy. He's a great actor.
It's an intense movie, man.
And he destroyed his own Hollywood career by doing this movie. He really did. He did. So I really hope that Gibson really pays him really good money to do the second sequel.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
Also, too, I want to cover this. Condolences to everybody. So FSU.
This is awful.
That massive shooting yesterday.
Again, in a gun-free zone.
Yeah. Apparently, they said there's 5 kids that got shot and 2 of them got killed. Apparently, the shooter is a son of a local sheriff deputy, and he was using his mom's service weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the information on this yet. I was watching some of it yesterday. Phoenix Eichner, 20 years old, was allegedly the kid that was the shooter. This is rough for everybody, so give my condolences. Everybody stay strong and safe up there. You know, it's a double-edged sword because the state of Florida, they don't allow you to carry a firearm on campus at all, period.
Where was he located when he did this? Was it outside or inside?
They said it was a student union, apparently, close to that. And then they changed a bunch of stories on us. I haven't got a full background on everything with it yet. But I've read some stuff on it. I just want to get that out there. I was reading some more stuff on it last night.
Well, a few years ago, somebody got shot at the Strozer Library up there. Mm-hmm. Again, another gun-free zone.
Yep.
And the campus is really funny about guns. They don't want any guns on campus.
No, they're very strict.
In fact, they're so strict that you can't park on campus with a gun in your car.
No, you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm. So the problem, what happens if you drive up to Tallahassee for a football game and you've got a gun in your car and you can't take it to the game? What are you supposed to do with it?
Valid question.
You know, so especially if you got a concealed weapons holder, you know, your concealed weapons holder. So it's a very, very strict campus. The problem is whenever you have these gun-free zones, it makes everybody else a potential victim if somebody comes in and breaks the law and basically brings a gun. Is the shooter still alive, or did they kill him, or did they kill him? So what happened to him?
No, apparently they apprehended him. He was taken into custody.
Wow. So you know, he'll be in prison for a long time if he doesn't get the death penalty in the state of Florida.
Florida's real funny about this as far as firearm-related incidents like this. So, again, just
our condolences to the families and to the people who were involved with all this, who saw it all. A lot of this is going to create a lot of PTSD.
It's
going to be a lot of problems for a lot of people.
It was interesting because I was watching some of the interviews from the guys. That movie came out the other day. If you guys saw it, well, you probably haven't seen it. It's pretty graphic warfare, and it's about the SEAL team that was in Ramada in 2006 doing Marsoc Overwatch.
That's a rough movie.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's intense. But I was watching some of the interviews with some of the guys, and they were talking about their deployments, and a lot of them were dealing with a lot of PTSD after those deployments because they were in heavy, heavy, heavy gunfights every time they
deployed. You know, my mom was in Germany during World War II.
Yeah.
I told you guys that, and she suffered from severe PTSD.
Yes, she did.
You know, you're really not designed to see that type of horror from one man towards another. It's bad. I mean, if you've ever experienced it, we have a friend of ours who basically was a crash scene survivor, you know, for the Air Force. And he still isn't right. He's still on psychiatric meds. And the sad part about it is, you know, you love the guy. He's a nice guy. But it's just he's gotten so messed up from the fact that he had seen so much carnage. And these guys have a hard time coming back from these theaters of war in many cases. And that's why so many of them also are put on psychiatric drugs, which in some cases makes it even worse.
Yes. And one aspect as far as making sure you maintain your brain overall says your brain on food, how what you eat affects cognition. This is something I talked about yesterday, but ties it into a very important aspect if you're trying to maintain overall mental health. It says anti-inflammatory approach to eating may be a better path towards cognitive function. And this is a good article here, and I'll post on the website. And it talks about how different foods can cause the body basically to dysregulate and start having issues with mood because of the gut-brain connection that more and more people and more scientists are starting to realize it is a huge connection.
You know, the other day I did a show, and we talked about how the gut, the brain talks to each other via scalar energy fields.
Yeah.
We're all interlinked through energy fields. And when that brain can't connect properly with the gut bacterium, which seems so strange.
It really is.
You know, that's why you've got to be on a good probiotics if you ever go on, you know, on antibiotics. You've got to be on. Do our 300. If you have an antibiotic cycle, just go ahead and splurge and get our 350 billion product and use it for a month.
At least run one cycle of it.
One cycle
it makes a
of
huge
it.
Difference.
Yeah.
It says right here, it says nutrients from food provide fuel, repair mechanisms, and signaling pathways necessary for healthy brain function. This is why it's so important to make sure you're getting the proper nutrients in your body, because what you eat will affect your cognition, will affect your brain, will affect your mood.
Look at this. Diet appears to begin influencing brain in early life.
Yep.
European Journal of Epidemiology assessed the diet's brain development and IQs of thousands of children and found a significant association between eating patterns and cognitive development. In other words, if a child isn't eating right, they don't get the nutrients they need, it's going to affect their IQ scores. It really is.
It's going to affect behavior, like ADHD symptoms.
Well, yeah. And then they drug them down with a drug, schedule two drugs. Schedule two drug in the same category with morphine, opium, yep. Percodan, and Demerol, by the way. That's Ritalin and Adderall. These are Schedule II drugs. If you get caught with them and you don't have a prescription for them, it's a felony.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke.
It's not getting caught. It's not getting caught with an antibiotic without your name.
No, this is a serious charge. And the problem with all that is that they hand this stuff out like candy in schools. And these kids get addicted. There's a reason they're Schedule II because they're highly addictive.
Well, and the thing that irritates me so much with a lot of these doctors is that they're not addressing the root cause. And it's almost always diet. They're not looking at what's actually causing the problem with behavioral patterns. They're just saying, oh, he's not focusing. Put him on amphetamines.
Well, now let me stop for 1 second. This is really important. You take a look at this. If you have a child that has ADD or ADHD, spanking is not the answer to this. Let me just give you a newsflash here. You got to be careful with what you do with children, because if that child has a problem with red dyes or blue dyes or hypoglycemia, why in the world do you think spanking that child is going to help? I know I'm meddling here for a second, but you better think through this one pretty close, because if there's a serious problem with that child's diet, you know, and that child won't listen or can't study or whatever, a lot of times kids have learning disabilities. They may have dyslexia. They may have other types of problems associated with it. Get them tested. A lot of kids now in the school system simply can't read. Now, I know I'm being kind of a little bit fussy here, but listen to me. When you have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, they should be taught phonics at that young of an age. They really should be. Sometimes you get these kids that are 7, 8, 9 years old, and you get them tested, they've got the reading scores of a 1-year, you know, one first grader, because they haven't learned how to read because we're teaching them whole language skills. That's really important that you understand. If that happens, you need to get them into a reading-based program that's going to teach them phonics. If you don't have the ability to do that, I'm sure the state in many cases can help with that. But you can't let them go through school not being able to read and then wonder why they're not listening to the teacher. I mean, it's so important when you raise kids. You've got to get them tested and make sure that their reading stays on par with their age group. That's really, really important. If you're teaching them Jack and Jill went up the hill to catch a pail of water, right, and they're 8 years old and they can't read that, there's a problem. Somebody hadn't taught that child how to read right. And they need to have, you know, Sylvan has a pretty good learning program. Now, don't tell them, I know Sylvan's got some new age stuff, so I got all that. I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying find somebody who's going to teach them how to read phonetically. And if you have to, bring a tutor in. Really, really important, because the earlier you address this, the better it's going to be. Why? If you've got a 6 or 7-year-old who can't read properly and you can correct it quickly, it won't affect them the rest of their school days.
Yep.
If you let it go, you may have a 4th grader or 5th grader reading at second grade level. If they ever ask him to read publicly in the classroom, he's going to be unbelievably embarrassed because he can't read. You know, years ago, I had a friend of mine. His son had graduated from homeschool at the age of 20, high school, because he wanted to play football. And the Holy Spirit told me, said, you know, ask the kid, because he's going off to college now, if he could read. You know, that still small voice you get. And so I handed him a book. I said, can you read the first paragraph of this book? He couldn't read it. He was completely functionally illiterate. Could not read. Here he had graduated from college, high school at the age of 20. His mother was completely negligent as far as getting him tested for his reading. He had gone through his entire school years not being able to read a paragraph in a book. And it wasn't a hard book to read. It wasn't like we're talking about biochemical genetics. It was like, you know, just a basic little novel. And so they got him into a Sylvan reading program. And within 6 weeks, he was reading okay to go off to college. But why couldn't they have done that to him when he was 14 or 15? Well, how about this? How about 6 or 7 or 8? And a lot of parents who homeschool, I'm going to say it, and I don't mean it mean or anything else, they're very neglectful on this. And they don't go through it. That child gets homeschooled, and they never learn how to read properly. And secondly, a lot of the school systems are the exact same way.
Oh, yeah.
They're even worse than homeschoolers. Okay, they'll push a child all the way through. I had kids literally when I was a college professor who could not read properly in college because they had pushed through high school, and they couldn't even answer a short answer essay. They couldn't even answer it. because they couldn't read the question. Now, they could mark true, false, and some of them were so inept, they didn't even know how to put true, false down, Austin, with a 50-50 chance. I sat there. Now, listen to me. This is a true story.
It's TRF, man.
No, it's 50-50. So I sat there in front of the class. I said, a lot of you guys are leaving your true, false questions blank. I said, let's talk about that for a second. I pulled a quarter out. Heads. Tails. 50% of the time I get this right. If you put true down all the way or false down all the way, chances are you're going to get some of them right. But leaving them blank, you're going to get them all wrong. I had to explain it that simply for some reason. They had never been taught how to answer a true-false question.
It's really sad, actually.
No, they were talking college kids.
Every time you tell me that story, I can't.
No, and so what I did, I made a mistake. I gave them Fs. If they fell on my course, I gave them Fs because I gave them every chance. I told everybody, I said, you're starting this course off with an A. I want everybody to get an A. It's up to you guys to keep it. But everybody gets an A, in my opinion, if you just do the work. They didn't do the work. They couldn't do the work. I said, I just give an F. Well, I found out later they're getting the government subsidies.
Oh.
And they sent me off to the prison. Remember that? You think I'm joking, and I'm not. The last year of me teaching, I was at the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee. I had to go through security.
To the prison for you.
Oh, they sent me to the prison. And we don't have any classes for you to teach. Unless you would teach at the prison. I'm like, the prison? Why am I going to teach at the prison? And so they date me in. I have to go through the little security sweep thing. And they say, don't take anything from anyone if they give you anything. I said, well, how am I supposed to grade their papers? They're giving me the paper. I mean, this is a horrible rule. Horrible rule. And finally, one guy says to me, I've got a letter. I need you to take it and send it for me. I'm like, I don't think, because all the letters censored, right? They read them all. I need you to send this letter for me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pass on that letter. Just let you know I'm not going to do all that. But I could tell you some more prison stories. I can't believe I know prison stories. But that was nuts, though. But that's the level of people at the schools. Now, the funny thing about it, all the prisoners in my class could read. A lot of them were really smart.
Were they?
A little smarter than they needed to be. They thought I could get away with stuff. What's your next story?
This is another health-related article. I've got a lot of issues, people bringing stuff up, either with psoriasis or fungus issues on their skin. This is a topic that I'm getting a lot of emails on, and I wanted to address this and go over
this
few key things.
Big deal.
It's a big problem. I'm getting more and more emails on this topic.
If it gets in the ear canal, it drives you nuts.
Speaking from experience, So it says ultra-processed foods are linked to psoriasis flare-up. Study more than 18,000 participants highlight the potential influence of diet on inflammatory diseases. And it goes into detail here talking about the vast majority of people that are suffering from psoriasis. They assess participants' intake of ultra-processed foods, and they found that a significant portion of them were eating essentially enormous amounts of ultra-processed foods. That's potato chips, ice cream, candies, cookies.
Psoriasis is a real pain.
And so what we found is the black seed oil, which works really good for that. Also, too, the omega-3 fats. Both of those are really,
and
really
good. And borage oil.
Borage oil,
especially for psoriasis.
No, so the thing is, you got to get the inflammation down with the skin, and it talks into detail here about the high-processed salt, high-processed sugar, and food additive content.
This is awful.
Dude, there are mosquitoes everywhere in here.
I got him, though.
I mean, they're lighting me up early.
I've got myself ready. Who left the doors open?
I don't know. Doors weren't open. I got in the studio.
Wow.
Anyways, borage oil, black seed oil, omega-3 fats.
And one other thing that works pretty well is silica, cell salts. I'm not sure we still carry those or not.
I still have them. We don't sell many of them, though. That's why.
That works great for psoriasis. One day I was at a hotel checking in with Sharon over in the Sheraton at Sand Key Resort.
Yeah.
You know, in Clearwater. I happen to remember all these little facts. And I remember there was a guy who had his arms, they were completely covered in psoriasis.
That's rough.
No, it was bad. I couldn't believe how bad it looked. And I said to him, I said, dude, have you tried? And I listened to those supplements for him.
Yeah.
Goes, I never heard of that. And I'm like, yeah, you might want to try some supplements. You got some serious deficiencies going on. And what I've seen is really good results with psoriasis. I mean, I got some of that one time on my head. I did years ago, about 20 years ago. I remember I went to Dr. Reschle.
Yep.
And he goes, well, that'll all clear up right before you die. That's what he said. And I love Dr. Reschle, brilliant man. And I said, clear up right before I die. How about I want to clear it up now? He's a dermatologist. I don't have to do all that. Well, I started on that little program I told you about, and they all went away.
Yeah,
that's very frustrating when that happens to you, because I had it once. I mean, now I have no problem with that at all anymore. But I constantly take, if I have anything like that happen, I would take borage oil. Heck, I would take the I'd take the aminos.
Collagen, too.
Collagen, yeah. That's what I'd take that. I take that, and I would also take the borage oil works great. The silica works great. And, you know, and of course, the cod liver oil works great. All those things, you have almost always it's an essential fatty acid deficiency, omega-3 deficiency.
And an inflammatory issue. And that's what it's talking about here in this
eating
article.
Eating junk food.
Yep. These inflammatory foods, ultra-processed foods, cause so much inflammation in the gut. The inflammation spreads. And what happens is the skin is the largest eliminating organ in the body. So if the liver's trying to process stuff and the gut's backed up and the colon's plugged up and you got all this inflammatory food and all these toxins, it's going to have to go somewhere.
And that's one of the reasons some people get real bad body odor too.
Yeah.
Because the skin's having to eliminate all the poisons.
Yeah, but the bowels aren't moving correctly. And this is another study here. It says consuming many calories after 5 p.m. may be harmful. You talked about this for years as far as eating late at night.
Hard to lose weight.
So it suggests that consuming more than 45% of your daily calories after 5 p.m. increases glucose and metabolic health risk. This also makes it very difficult to lose body fat. It says consuming more than 45% of your daily calories after 5 p.m. dramatically spikes blood sugar levels, increasing the risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease, regardless of a person's weight or body composition.
Yeah, I can tell you, if you want to lose weight quickly, with the chicken and vegetables, after 6 o'clock, don't eat.
Yeah.
Don't eat until you go right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
To have a protein snack.
Yep.
Like some eggs or some chicken.
Eggs. I've told this to a lot of people. If you eat like two, depending on how many calories you need, if you eat like 2, 3, 4 whole eggs before bed, about 30 minutes before bed, you sleep really good.
You do.
You actually really
do. Because your body doesn't wake up in the morning with elevated cortisol because you're so hungry. That's right. And so, but what it does, and plus the eggs don't elevate glucose.
Zero.
No.
No spike at all.
No, at all. And so what ends up happening is you sleep all night.
Blood sugar stable all night. Protein, fats, good to go. Recovery. And see, what's talking about here is talking about 45% of your daily calories. So it's referring to individuals that, you know, pretty much are working all day, busy, busy, busy. They get home and they go blast like 1,000, 1,500 calories.
Smorgasbord, yeah. 2,000 calories.
Man, I'm eating this and pasta and bread and ice cream at 9, 10 o'clock.
I'm going to bed at 10 minutes and here's my plate. You know,
I noticed that a while back ago because I ended up getting, don't send me emails on this. I got some Haagen-Dazs for the kids a while back. And so I went on them. Went a little ice cream bender about 9 o'clock at night. I found it in the freezer, and I did not sleep good at all.
No,
that's sugar. I woke up multiple times. I woke up in the morning, didn't feel good. I had a headache. Mosquitoes,
golly. Aerial arthropod. They're
everywhere. Giant flying hypodermic needles. But, yeah, I didn't sleep good at all. And after that, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to eat ice cream, I'm going to.
Yeah? Cat-like reflexes.
I got him. Anyway, so cut the food out late at night. If you need it, eat a snack, eat some eggs, and keep your body and mind strong. One way to do that is make sure you're eating healthy every single day as best you possibly can.
By the way, here's another UFO story. Area 51.
That was a horrible segue.
Well, it was bad.
Well, I get the flying hypodermic needles.
Here's what aliens eat who manufactured the mosquitoes.
There you go.
See that mosquito? Let's talk about aliens.
That was a good segue.
Chilling details. Area 51 linked Navy sailor who saw the latest tic-tac UFOs rise from the Pacific reveals chilling details about them. A Navy sailor who basically his family has ties to Area 51 has revealed airy details about he encountered 4 mysterious UFOs rising from the Pacific Ocean. Now, years ago, I had a guy come into my clinic. He told me this story. I thought he was nuts. I hate to say it, but I did. He said he saw it come right out of the Pacific off the coast, you know, over there close to Carmel. He said he saw a ship come out of the water, kind of like the Starship Enterprise did that one time in that one film with Star Trek. And I thought myself, this guy's going to have to be careful with him. But now we're hearing more and more and more of this stuff, that a lot of this stuff, because if you make – think about it for a second. If a ship is airtight, okay – and it's not going to leak air in space, or if it's airtight, it can do what it needs to do. That means it's going to be airtight underwater too, Austin.
Yeah.
It's a container. So can it – and he said that basically he saw the ship come down into the water, and like the water kind of parted, I guess some kind of magnetic field around the ship, and the ship went down into the ocean, and then he saw one rise up, and I thought, whatever. But so that's another story. But this Navy sailor says he's senior chief operations specialist – His name's Wiggins, a Navy veteran of 23 years on board the USS Jackson during the incident in 2023. We talked about that back then. Wiggins had watched the mysterious four objects emerging from the ocean and taking off in synchronized flight off the coast of Southern California. Apparently, they like Southern California. That's what this guy said. He saw it, too. Speaking with 8 News Show, the radar specialist contended that he still remains dubious and wonders if the truth about it will ever be revealed by what he saw. He said, to my surprise, which is something I've never witnessed, was a light I noticed on the horizon, and it looked as if it were surfacing out of the water and going up. Not believing what I was seeing, he took a look at the shapes through a thermal sensor, which showed not just one, but two tic-tac-shaped objects on the sky. We only saw the one, and then we saw the second one. It was only when we zoomed in that we realized there were two more, the total of four. Wiggins, who was speaking out to help investigators piece together the mystery, said that while he was watching the tic-tacs in awe, they suddenly took off to the north all at the same time. Most shocking to Wiggins was the speed of the lights in the sky. He said, if I had to talk speed, it was two steps behind instantaneous. Now, the reason they could move this fast, because these things use thermal energy and also scalar energy fields to move, and they warp space-time. I'm not going to go into detail on that today because
it's
I'm not
Friday.
Going to talk about it. It's too much. But what happens is they move beyond belief speed. They move at the speed. And, you know, when Kurzweil was being asked, you know, what he was doing over there at Skunk Works and all the rest of this stuff, he said that everything you see on TV basically is true. They can do it. He's talking about, you know, Starship Enterprise now. And he goes, and he said, if you really want to think about how fast we can move now, listen to this. Think about the speed of thought.
Speed of thought,
a scalar energy field will move from one point in the universe to the other point in the universe instantaneously. That's why when you pray, you create scalar energy fields, which changes the fabric of space-time. I've done entire shows on this, and so this is very important. We understand that that's the kind of power that God gave us because we're created in His image. We can change the fabric of space-time by the prayers that we pray. When you take two radar waves and you lay them on top of each other, you create a longitudinal wave. When you do that twice, you lay them over, you create a scalar energy field. And the scalar energy field is what our space-based weapon systems are out of. And this is all the stuff that Tesla talked about. So this is what Kurzweil was talking about when he was talking about, you know, what they could do now and how fast they could move and the things they were capable of doing. So the scientific world that we're exposed to, it's 500 years behind what they have, if not more. This is all ancient alien technology. Well, you could call it fallen angel technology.
John Brown has still built the 50 BMG for a reason. I don't think they like those.
I think when they come into our cycle and when they come into our reality, I think a 50 BMG makes a real mess out of them.
I think it makes a mess out of everything. Also, too, this is other news. This is good news. Speaking of firearms, Trump addressed what happened in Florida State. Again, my condolences to everybody, but he said he is not backing any new gun laws that the Democrats are already trying to ramrod through. He said essentially it's a horrible shame what happened in Florida State. He said he is not backing any new gun measures because he's a big advocate of the Second Amendment. He said this thing's terrible. He said, but the gun doesn't do the shooting. The people do as far as legislation is concerned. I will be obligated to protect the Second Amendment. I ran on the Second Amendment, and I will always protect it. So I'm glad to see him at least getting, how should I say, more of a standpoint and more staunch on the Second Amendment after what he did with the bump fire stocks after the whole Las Vegas shooting. That was a fiasco, giving ATF carte blanche immunity to go in and rewrite the definition of machine gun and change the definition from 1934 was a fiasco. So I'm glad he at least is addressing this right now. And also, too, this is an interesting news. Texas appeals rules in a lawsuit against Pfizer challenging the PrEP Act immunity shield. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on Wednesday filed a motion in U.S. Court of Appeals to the Fifth Circuit saying that Texas consumer laws are not preempted by the federal liability shield granted on COVID under the PrEP Act for the COVID-19.
Whoa, here we go. This
is
great.
Saying now, essentially, this PrEP Act that protected Pfizer and gave them full carte blanche immunity on an experimental shot that FDA rolled out, they're saying that the Texas Deceptive Trade Practice Act supersedes this. And they're saying that Texas claims Pfizer capitalized on America's fear of the unknown by touting its vaccine as a miracle cure. Pfizer claims led Texas consumers to make choices they did not have other, they would not have otherwise made, while Pfizer enriched itself based on misleading statements to the tune of billions of dollars. The state alleged that Pfizer misled statements about its COVID-19 vaccine were coupled with the company's censorship of scientists to set the record straight. This would be good if this goes through.
Well, no, a lot of guys are censored. Heck, we were censored.
No, everybody was censored. Are you kidding me? It was everybody got censored. Yeah, Every platform. Yeah. I mean, there were pages that I knew on Facebook, on Instagram. They were huge. I mean, they got completely taken down. And it's funny, nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody just wants to have this short-term memory.
Look at Ray Flores, senior counsel, outside counsel for Children Health Defense, disputed Pfizer's claims and said no COVID-19 vaccine manufacturer blatantly misled the public more than Pfizer.
Yeah.
Flores said today, exaggerations of durability, efficacy, and safety are expertly spelled out in Paxson's brief. And, you know, it's the truth. Remember, they were saying, you know, you need to get the shot so my shot will protect me.
If you don't get your shot, my shot doesn't work.
No.
The fact that they actually said that on national television boggles my mind.
And they said that everybody had to have a shot. And finally they said, well, they had to admit, the shot didn't do anything as far as transmission.
No.
Nothing.
They started off saying it's 98% effective. Then it was 92% effective. Then it was 85% effective. Then it was 70% effective. Then it was 55% effective. And the number kept going down and down and down and down. Finally they go, well, it's like 12% effective in the clinical trials.
Did it drop down that low?
It was low, bro. It was nothing. I mean, it was in the teens.
But by the way, this is interesting. Tulsi Gabbard declassifies President Biden's secret plan to eliminate the Second Amendment in the name of counterterrorism. Whoa. I mean, this is crazy. You know, Pillar 4 confront long-term contributors to domestic terrorism. Intended impact, 41.1. Lethal means for penetrating acts of domestic terrorism are reduced. It goes on to say, rein in the proliferation of ghost guns, encourage state adoption of extreme risk protection orders. That's the red flag gun laws. And drive other executive legislative action, including banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. They don't want any capacity magazines. They want you to have a revolver or a shotgun that doesn't have any kind of...
Or an over-under.
Yeah, that's it. Two rounds.
That's it. That's all they have in the UK. I don't think you can have anything larger.
Well, you watch these TV movies like this, like you know what? I'm not promoting John Wick, but it's got some great gun scenes. I don't know if you like guns. And he's at the end, and they're trying to arrest him. This is the very first movie they did, and they're not trying to arrest him; they're trying to capture him.
Yeah,
and he comes out with a machine gun.
Oh yeah,
remember? And they can't do anything. No. They all do is hide behind the wheel well.
Fire, man, he lights them up.
Oh yeah, but he runs out. And he ends up finally hitting him with a car. It's true. To get him inside because they couldn't stop him. But when you have a machine gun with a 200-round mag attached to it, it's a tough thing to deal with.
Oh, yeah. You come out with a 249, nice belt on it.
Or you come out with a doggone minigun.
Well, there's that. What is that one movie? It's not Wind River. It's when they have that investigation up in Alaska or Wyoming. And they go to arrest that guy in that doggone trailer. Remember, there?
Yeah,
he pulls that doggone M4 out the window, and he just lights everybody up. That's a very graphic scene. But a lot of law enforcement I've talked to and a lot of
Jeremy Reiner, the guy who plays that.
Good movie. Yeah. It's graphic. But it shows you what happens when you try to come to a machine gun fight with a pistol.
He pretty much killed everybody.
He drops everybody.
And then Jeremy Reiner's like at a distance away.
That long range, yeah.
That long range gun. He starts popping him. He starts taking out the guys who are running with machine guns. it's a great movie.
It's intense, though. It's got a lot of intense stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him. Don't let your children watch that one. That's not a kid's movie.
Also, too, speaking of crazy stuff, mom and teen are suing school that refused to grant hepatitis B vaccine medical exemption in New York. This is crazy here. Mother and her teenage daughter are suing New York School District for denying the teen a medical exemption for the third Hep B shot after seven different doctors and medical practitioners said the teen should not get the vaccine due to serious medical conditions. This is nuts here. Even at walk-in clinics at a pharmacy refused to vaccinate the 16-year-old girl because of her compromised health when the teen tried to get vaccinated on her own and against medical advice so she could return to school. And the school basically would not allow her in and would not accept it, even though multiple physicians signed off and said she does not need to get the shot. The Hep B shot already has got a whole host of health problems with it. That's golly, we talked about that in detail. And
you have to pregnant to a baby, brand new born babies. It's insane.
Right off the gate. I mean, boom, shot. be very cautious. Do your research if you're having kids, especially in a hospital. Make sure you know what they're getting exposed to, because they want to hit them with the vitamin K and the Hep B shot right out the gate. I'm not telling you what to do with your kids. I'm not giving you medical advice, but I am telling you this. Do your own research before you start letting your child get jabbed right out the gate. Vitamin K, in most cases, is completely unnecessary. It's got aluminum in it.
Yep.
If the mother's taking proper prenatals and taking stuff like vitamin D3 with K2, K levels should be plenty in the system. And the Hep B shot makes absolutely zero sense in the child if the mom does not have hepatitis B. Makes zero sense at all. The body, they can't even produce antibodies at all at that age. I mean, they're
well, the reason they give these females, women, these childbearing ladies, you know, the Hep B shot before they have the baby, right after they have the baby, or they give the baby the shot, is because they're assuming the mother is a drug-using IV prostitute.
Right. They automatically assume it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, most of the time, the mother's had blood work done leading up to the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
You know, so it's like if it's not Hep B positive, there's
well, I can guarantee the vaccine manufacturers got the middle of this because, again, they get their immunity.
RFK Jr. actually went into detail about why the Hep B shot they manufactured, and they tried to basically directly target it towards IV drug users. That was the main goal of it. And the problem is they are bothered to think most IV drug users
don't
really
care.
Concerned about Hep B. They're hooked on drugs. And so what they did was they had to figure out how to make the shot.
How to
monetize it. And so they mandated it for children as newborn with zero long-term research on side effects and what it does to the child. And, that's some short story on Hep B. Do your own research on it if you want to learn more about that. But the Hep B shot for newborns is complete and total travesty. So, no, there's absolutely zero reason to be getting that shot in young kids at all. So, also, too, I had an article pulled up here. There's another one that I pulled up on ultra-processed foods. Let me get it here. It talks about, there it is, ADHD drugs linked to blood pressure and heart rate increase. No doubt. It says experts discuss comprehensive treatment approaches, including both medication and behavioral interventions. They're saying now that a large percentage of individuals who go on ADHD medication, like Ritalin and Adderall,
which we talked about earlier,
are having issues with cardiac problems, including blood pressure issues.
It's methylphenidate. Like meth.
It's not hard to put plus 1 = 2 here. And the issue is, they're talking about it as well, is that a lot of these kids, is exactly what we talked about earlier, is it's not, you know, if a kid used Adderall a couple times and then they pulled them off of it, the long-term side effects are going to be minimal. It's not what normally happens. They put these kids on Adderall at a very young age, and they're on it for years.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they start having heart issues in their 20s and 30s.
Well, and one of the biggest problems, and this is why it's one of the top 10 drugs slated for pharmaceutical theft,
Yes. Okay,
is that these kids get addicted to it. They can't function without it.
No.
Now they get out of high school and they say, well, you're done now with the Ritalin.
Yeah.
And you can't have your amphetamine anymore. The problem is they're addicted to it. So then they go to the street, which pushes up the value of the pills through the roof and causes a lot of people to start using them illegally. A lot of college kids use these products to study with. Yeah, they use them.
But they don't have to sleep as much. They do more studying. They do more work. And the problem is, man, it burns you out. And this is one of the reasons why we developed the formula, the attention factor, to be almost a natural, healthy Adderall alternative. Is the reason why I put this together.
I wouldn't make that claim. It gives you more energy.
An alternative, in my opinion.
We got to remember, people that are on Adderall have prescriptions for them, and I would never, ever, ever suggest they stop taking it and take this product. I would never recommend that. No.
But if you're trying to focus better and you're basically trying to maintain overall health and better mental acuity, this product works great for that with the L-theacrine in here, the theacrine and the magnesium theanate. This is a really good formula. I love it. A lot of people love it. You love it.
I don't sleep on it. If you take the stuff, you got to take it first thing in the morning. Not tell you. One time I remember I said, I'm going to try 4 of these like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm looking around going, I haven't slept at all. This is awful.
You nailed your pilot's exam, though.
I did do that.
Yeah. Greased it.
I did.
It will get you focused. So, again, if you're trying to look for an alternative, if you want to stay healthy, if that's something you don't want to go into the pharmaceutical world, this is a great option for that. This is the reason why I recommend it for a lot of people, and it gets so many good reviews, and so many people love it. This right here says,
help me pass my boards.
Excited to report that after using the past 2 months, I passed both my boards for nuclear medicine. It's great because it doesn't string you out. I use it in the early morning and study approximately 4 hours daily. It's helped keep my focus on the studies.
It did get me to the pilot exam.
Oh, yeah. I like the attention factor 10. Also, you guys came up with another good product. You got my vote for the best show and best products in the world. Well, you guys make T-shirts called the 3 Percenters. God bless. I see these comments. I try to look at a lot of the reviews on here, but sometimes I just click on them and there they are.
You know what's funny is because I remember I had that pilot exam. Yeah. So I'm taking this oral exam. He asked me this question. I answer it for him. He goes, you're the only person who ever got that question right. I said, well, thanks. I said, it makes sense the way I answered it. He goes, well, yeah, you can't endanger the aircraft because they ask you to do something from the air traffic control tower.
So endanger everybody.
I remember one time I was coming to Lakeland for a landing. And they were having to do a direct crosswind landing. They got overlapping runways. And I told them, I said, I don't really want to use that runway. I prefer to land into the wind. They said, fine, that is fine, clearance. They gave me the clearance.
Yeah.
And now the guy who basically trained me says, don't be asking that. Do what they say. I said, I'm not going to do that. If I think what they're doing is wrong, I'm going to say something to them about it.
Yeah, but if it's unsafe.
In fact, that was the day I flew the plane back when it had the alternator failure. We had the emergency landing. And I didn't want to not land in a 20-knot crosswind. But I like 20-knot headwinds is really nice because you land nice and slow because you're going so much slower. By the way, Russia threatens response if the Ukraine uses German Taurus missiles. This is interesting. Firing such missiles would be impossible without the involvement of Berlin's military. They're right about that because you have to have the computer systems for that. Moscow would consider any strikes by Kiev on Russian targets using German-supplied Taurus missiles as direct participation by Berlin in the Ukrainian conflict. Foreign Ministry spokesperson has warned. Her comments come after incoming German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, who's absolutely horrible Rothschild stooge, indicated he'd be open to supplying Kiev with long-range Taurus cruise missiles. The weapon has the 500-kilometer strike range, like 250 miles, meaning they could be used to attack targets deep inside of the Russian territory. Germany's current acting chancellor, Olaf Scholz, has refused to do so. Speaking at the press briefing on Thursday, Russia said that even if the missiles would be transferred to Ukraine, they would be still controlled by Germany, meaning that Berlin would be directly participating in the conflict. Remember the other day, we had our missiles turned off that we'd given to Ukraine.
Yeah.
You shut them off remotely.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're all hooked up to the satellites. Just turn them off. And so Russia's the truth, telling the truth. They're basically being trained by German people to launch these missiles if they're actually deployed. And so, again, I don't talk a lot about the Ukrainian problems because it just doesn't seem to want to go away. But the reality is a lot of these people are still threatening a lot of things over there. And quite frankly, Zelensky should be replaced. He's not willing to negotiate.
This war will be over with Lockheed Martin and Raytheon Demon. So
when they have run out of their old inventory and they have to make new stuff.
That's what it is.
Beware of the military-industrial complex.
What it has been the entire time, the vast majority of all the money that's going to Ukraine is going to the top five military contractors. They're dumping inventory and restructuring. That's what's happening.
Wow.
They need another war. They got one. They'll start another one soon enough. It's sad. Not much I can do about it, but it's basically just the way things continue to happen on a regular basis. So.
Oh, by the way, they're saying now that basically the travel to the U.S. from almost everywhere is now failing under Trump.
What?
Well, that's good, though. At least with the highway, it won't be as crowded as Disney World.
Good riddance. Go back to your other country.
Good riddance to Disney. Overseas travel to the United States has declined sharply since President Trump took office. Industry experts say some of the reasons are plain to see. Reports of detentions and deportations, including the weeks-long lockup of European tourists, which did happen, by the way, have sowed fears of bad experiences at the border. Some countries have tightened travel advisories, and Trump's whiplash tariffs have ratcheted up international tensions. Last month, overseas visitors fell by 12%. That's a big drop.
Good riddance. Yeah.
The downturn after a 2% decline year to year on February is the first meaningful downturn since the travel plummeted in the early days of the coronavirus pandemic. If sustained, the drop could translate to billions of dollars in lost tourism revenue, industry experts warn. That's probably true. We're going to have a real problem with tourism coming into the United States because everybody's scared they're going to get deported.
I think we'll do just fine.
I really want I-4 to clear up. you know what's funny? Now this is crazy. Now they're putting a high-speed toll road in the median of I-4.
Are they?
Oh, my gosh. Is it going fast?
That's what they're doing with it?
Unbelievable. Yeah, because they said that expanding the size of the interstate won't increase the flow of traffic. It has to be a toll road.
Everything they have to do is string more money out of everybody. I'm so over the constant theft of everybody's money. What do we pay taxes for?
I just want to know how to invest in a toll road.
Yeah, I don't mind. I've tried to invest. I can't invest. Nobody will give me any ability to invest in a toll road. I mean, even if you throw in a couple $100s, the return's going to be enormous. This thing is crazy. So, I mean, it's – golly, dude. So they're putting a toll road in the middle of I-4.
Yes.
That's
– they're doing it fast.
Of course they are. They're going to get a bunch of money from it. It's this, golly, dude. So, again, this is where we are with the things in Florida. It's happening on a regular basis. It's just, you know, why gold shoots the roof. What are you laughing at?
I'll edit that.
Albert.
If you heard it on this first show broadcast, you heard it. It's a bit much.
I'm sick of it, dude. I'm over it. If they would let the general population invest in it, you could buy some type of stocks or bonds in the toll roads, I wouldn't have a bit of problem with it. But the truth about it is it's getting insane. Also, too, in other news, speaking of vehicle updates, you guys like this, it says Americans are rushing to buy new vehicles in March. They said industry sales data in case that new and used vehicle sales shot up as buyers prepared for anticipated automotive tariff-related price increases. So April 15 presentation, they're showing that sales have gone up. Pre-tariff inventory is becoming exhausted. Now, let me give you guys a heads up on this right now because I've been in the automotive industry for years. A lot of these vehicles are not going to go up significantly in price domestically. A lot of parts may go up slightly. There might be some slight increases, but a massive tariff increase on U.S.-made vehicles is not going to go through the roof. You may have a couple percent, but remember, a lot of these prices have already been fixed into vehicles over the last 2 to 3 years with a massive increase of MSRP. They can buffer this some. However, the European model, what happens with Mercedes and Porsche and all these other ones, I don't know. I mean, Porsche, I think, is 28% of their vehicle sales go to the United States. So I don't know what's going to happen if they put 25% tariffs on these doggone things.
It won't matter. They'll send them to China. China wants more. Porsche can't produce enough product for the demand globally. Germany gets hardly any Porsches at all.
I know.
Almost all of it goes to the United States and China.
A third inventory goes to the United States, though, bud.
Yeah, I know, but you still don't see them. They're very rare cars, you know, so they can make as few as they want. Oh, by the way, this is interesting on Drudge this morning. Since we talked about Jim Caviezel earlier, it says, Passion of the Christ 2 is my greatest fear, confesses returning Jesus star Jim Caviezel. Interesting, he would phrase it that way. When you end up in the hospital, like I said, with heart surgery, for over 20 years as a Passion of the Christ hit cinema, as the Mel Gibson is finally gearing up to shoot the sequel in August, which is in a few months. The resurrection of the Christ star returning actor Jim Caviezel as the Son of God enters the spiritual realms of this movie. Described by Gibson as a crazy acid trip. That's what he said. That sounds like something Bill would say.
That sounds like something
from his Braveheart screenwriter, Randall Wallace. The movie will span the scenes from the fall of Satan. So he's going to go way back to the Apostle John in Revelation. This could be a good movie. Caviezel went through hell on the first movie from a bloody injury that made the final cut, being struck by lightning. Yet despite his fears reprising Christ, the 56-year-old, who's almost 60 now, will be digitally de-aged and has a tenacious spirit. Appearing on Raymond Arago's YouTube channel, Caviezel, a devout Roman Catholic, addressed his suffering on the set of The Passion of the Christ. He said, it was okay, though, because it was a part of the purpose of why I was born. I take it very seriously. I'm really looking forward to this movie, Austin.
That's going to be intense.
This is going to be...
Well, the thing about now, Mel Gibson doesn't care as far as...
Oh, his career is done.
He's got gloves are off on this one.
He's been stuck to C-rated movies now. He doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't care.
No, he's there.
I guarantee you, they're gonna go hard in this movie. This is gonna be intense.
I'm gonna stop for 1 second here, since this show's kind of gotten crazy anyhow today. But I have a friend of mine who was used in the production of the first movie. He's a professor at a Bible college. You know who he is.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not gonna mention his name. And they were talking to him because, you know, they used the Aramaic as far as the movie itself.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it in English, and they did it with subtitles. And he was asked about certain things about, you know, the Book of John, where it came from, about, you know, the Jews being the children of the devil. And I can read that to you if you don't believe it. It says that. It's not, and it wasn't the Jews in general. He's talking about the Sanhedrin and these Pharisees and these people who were threatening
Pharisees,
the killing.
They pretended like they were Jews, or they
were not. Well, the Bible says also in the Book of Revelation they claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. And he was actually used as a consultant on this because they were asking him, you know, what they should do as far as certain scenes, etc. Because they were trying to make sure they buffered it with Hollywood, because Hollywood was so angry because they were doing the movie. And I remember I told you that story. I was sitting, and I mentioned this a couple times. You guys have not heard the show before. I'll tell you what it was. I was in a first-class lounge at the Westin in Frankfurt, and I ran into a lady who was a production lady who distributed movies in Europe. And I asked her, I said, did the Jewish community that runs Hollywood, did they say they would destroy Mel Gibson's career if he produced The Passion of the Christ? And she said to me, I've got her name. If you call me personally, I'll tell you who she was. And she goes, yes, we told him that, and yes, we did.
Wow.
So now you're to the point now that you're going to be saying, okay, well, at this point, Mel Gibson doesn't care anymore.
Well, I knew there was a big controversy about the scene with Pontius Pilate.
Oh, yeah.
Wash his hands. Mm-hmm. His blood's going to be on you and your generation. Yeah, I know that was a huge
I remember I talked to that professor, that Christian professor, and he told me he was brought in as a consultant because he knows like all these different languages. And he told him to buffer it. He said, which he would. He's a friend of mine. He doesn't like a lot of conflict. And he told him to buffer it just so they could, but it didn't make any difference. They still destroyed Mel Gibson's career.
You want to see something cool?
Sure.
Michael Barrett put this together for yesterday. Titanic.
No.
The Titanic made the cut.
Sinking ships and rising taxes. The MSS Titanic.
This is on thebrowershow.com, guys. If you guys want to stay updated on this, make sure you're signing up for the weekly newsletter on here. And we got a great marketing director, and he's putting all kinds of really cool graphics together for each of these shows. You kind of get a visual representation of what's on the show. And then he goes down here and he goes full detail about the episode. I mean, you want to know what's on it? I mean, it's right here. Then you go in and look at the products that we discuss on the show as well. So be sure to check this out.
You know, we've come a long ways.
We've come very far.
I mean, a year and a half since we started doing this show on video, we've come.
We didn't use do video.
And guess what's fixing to happen next week? We're going to high def.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see me sweat on.
Oh, that's great. We all want to see you sweat. You know,
but we're playing, me and Mike were playing with yesterday, and I looked at the camera like, golly, I'm going to have to shave like every day. It was really high def. I'm like, this is going to be fun.
But the cameras we have actually can handle it, but we're having to leave Skype because, and it's not because we've done something wrong with Skype, but Skype's changing their entire format now.
We're going with a better platform.
Yeah, we're going with a better platform. So you'll get to see us in high def if that's a good thing. I don't know at this point.
Yeah, I know.
But, what's your next story?
This is also another story. Where did that go here? I want to pull this up. Let's see here. It was exclusive. Oh, yes, Tylenol. Stay away from Tylenol.
Oh, my God.
Another friend recently is having issues with the liver because of Tylenol. Hundreds of Tylenol lawsuits now allege retailers and manufacturers knew acetaminophen during pregnancy could cause autism, but they covered it up anyways. Hundreds of Tylenol lawsuits have been filed now against the retailer. Guys, be careful of this stuff. I tell everybody all the time. I mean, I try to avoid acetaminophen like it's the plague. I don't care what's hurting, what's aching. Don't take Tylenol, in my opinion. That's my opinion. If you have to take something, take aspirin. Aspirin at least has been around long enough, and it's not so stinking liver toxic. I mean, it thins the blood out. It's a little hard on the kidneys.
It's hard on the back of the retina, too.
Yeah, but it's, dude, what's worse, blowing your liver out? I mean, this.
No, I don't like any of that stuff, but I agree with you. If you have to take something like that every once in a while.
That's what I was going to ask your opinion. If you have to take
it, it'd be aspirin. But I tell you what, though, if you're taking blood thinners, you don't need to take an aspirin on top of that. It can cause the actual retina to detach because it can cause bleeding in the back of the eye. It can cause macular degeneration.
Ever, if you guys are out for an evening, you're out with friends, or you're having a Christmas party, and you consume alcohol, don't you ever take Tylenol with it. Ever. Not the next morning, not ever. Stay away from that.
I had a friend of mine. He had a buddy who basically had gone out and had a massive got stone drunk. Took a bunch of Tylenol the next day, and 3 days later, he had to have a liver treatment. He had to look for a new liver for
it. It's bad. Stay away from that stuff. If you guys want to detox your body, something like that, the GHI cleanse is the best formula for that. Detox your body, feel better, get the toxins out, but stay away from Tylenol. More lawsuits on it, linking acetaminophen during pregnancy to autism and ADHD symptoms. I mean, this stuff just keeps getting worse. I feel like every time I turn around, acetaminophen is wrapped up in something else again. So it's best just to stay away from this stuff. What do you think?
Just avoid it.
Avoid it.
You know, I mean, it's just all of that. I mean, Tylenol should be taken off the market.
It honestly needs to be controlled.
It needs to be scheduled too.
For a specific reason. Yeah. If specific reason on it, it's too toxic.
I think it just needs to come off the market. I think there's been enough deaths from Tylenol now. They need to take it off the market. Acetaminophen is so incredibly liver toxic.
I don't know the numbers on it, but it's tens of thousands of liver failure.
Oh, no, every year,
the hospitalization.
Yeah.
Every year.
You know, and then you can try the N-acetylcysteine if you have some liver issues, but if you really blow out the liver with Tylenol, there's a high probability nothing's going to take care of that if you really destroy it, you know? And so a lot of times people get addicted to painkillers and they mix them with Tylenol.
Well, the problem is a lot of the painkillers have Tylenol in them. They stack those, the oxycodone and basically the.
So now you're taking it every day.
Yeah.
You know, and now you're dealing with that. Because there are people out there that have had serious back injuries.
All kinds of horrible things have happened to them, and they have to be on a painkiller every day, or they can't function. And the problem is if they got to take that painkiller every day and they have it mixed with Tylenol every day, they're getting liver toxins every single day.
If you have that, and I'm not giving you any medical advice, if you have that, I'd highly recommend you talk to your doctor and try to make sure the painkillers don't have incentive.
Well, you can do that. They have.
I'm not recommending staying on painkillers. No. Don't quote me on that. But I'm saying if it is something you're having to use, or even if you're having surgery, request the doctor and tell them you're allergic to acetaminophen, because quite frankly, everybody's allergic to acetaminophen. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and if the doctor doesn't know about acetaminophen, he's got to be living in under a rock somewhere. Then you'd bring him some articles on it. If you bring him some journal articles on acetaminophen and what it does, get his attention. Say, look, I don't want to be on this stuff.
Well, no, most of when I've had surgery, ankle surgery and stuff like that, I mean, I've requested for him, I'm allergic to acetaminophen. I knew if I had painkiller, I need something without Tylenol in it. And they'll prescribe you something different than have Tylenol.
So everybody's allergic to that, by the way. Just thought we'd mention that again. Just don't be taking all that stuff again. It's just a really bad product as far as I'm concerned. It should never have been approved at all. It's what it is. By the way, you know, Americans have become obsessed with protein, and it's driving nutrition experts nuts. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Who are these nutrition experts? Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. It says, you know, this man starts off his day by eating 6 eggs. That sounds pretty good.
Pretty good.
Later, he'll down a smoothie made with Greek yogurt. Yeah, you got to make sure you get the non-pasteurized milk if you do that. Protein powder and berries. And then for dinner, it's a pound of red meat. That's a lot.
Pound in one sitting? That's a lot. Well, the problem is you can't process much more than about 35, 40 grams of protein.
Yeah, but so you're getting a lot of stuff. And so they're saying that a lot of people are coming in with a lot of protein now, and there's protein-infused beverages and everything else. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but about a gram per pound of body weight is about it. Is that right, Austin?
That's pretty good for recovery. I mean, unless you're a really, really conditioned athlete and you're trying to put on a lot of mass going over, I mean, you can do about a pound and a half. So if you're 200 pounds, 300 grams a day, that's about the maximum as far as you're going to need.
And it says America's long-running love affair with protein has intensified as weight loss drugs like Ozempic have taken off.
Yeah.
It says with many users trying to boost protein intake to offset the massive muscle loss
from
these products.
Exactly right.
You know? Meanwhile, a social media fueled focus on health and fitness is crowding more protein powders in the kitchen cabinets. That's why you have to be careful with what you buy. Because of all the junk that's on the market.
That's why we have the New Zealand whey. Bovine, cleanest bovine in the entire world is from New Zealand. That's why that's the only whey protein we carry on there. I don't run anything from China, especially when it comes to protein. This stuff's trash comes out of China when it comes to protein powders. Stay away from that stuff.
Well, you can get too much. You can overdo it. You can get too much fat.
Oh, yeah.
You get too carbs.
Too much,
but I'd rather get too much protein and too much sugar.
Oh, by all means.
By all means. If you got to do either or, I definitely would rather do that. I really would. And by the way, it says that your sleeping position is shortening your lifespan. Now I gotta talk about this one. Now, whether this is true, I don't know. It says back, front, or side. The way you choose has the ability to trigger its own set of problems from neck pain to brain health.
Interesting.
How many of you keep track of our sleep posture? Okay. Despite impact of sleep posture can have on conditions such as dementia and heart disease, research is limited in terms of focus on aches and pains. But this sleep scientist and the author of this certain book, I'm not promoting any of this, she points out that lifestyle factors in the day are usually the cause of problems at night. She goes, what you do during the day usually triggers the pain or the discomfort that is felt when you sleep in certain parts of the thing, the night. And, you know, she's right. If you get a real hard workout and you're sore somewhere, it does affect you.
Oh, yeah.
That night. She goes, side sleeping is the most common position, but there are health implications of certain people depending on whether they lie on their left or right side. Is advised that pregnant women and anyone who suffers from acid reflux and other gut problems sleep on their left side. That's because of the way the stomach.
Right, I've heard that.
And they're right about that. That's because stomach is lower than your esophagus, explains this physiotherapist. People with heart conditions, on the other hand, are advised to try sleeping on their right side to relieve pressure on the heart. Studies show that when people lie on their left side, the position of their heart shifts due to gravity. This causes change in the heart's electrical activity. Tissues and structures between the lungs hold the heart in place when you sleep at night. So I'm going to post this article that you guys read through it all. It seems pretty interesting to me because I know that if I sleep a certain way, I have issues the next morning with my hips.
Yeah, it happens.
And I've got to be careful of how I sleep. And so it's very, very important. Oh, by the way, I got to pray for you guys yesterday. I love you guys. I got the music playing. I've got a minute left. And thank you for your support. And happy Easter to you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Happy Resurrection Weekend. And happy Good Friday to you today, too. Remember, this is the biggest high holy services of everybody for the Christians. Yeah. This is the resurrection of Jesus. It's a big deal. This weekend's a big deal for Christ. I love you guys.
If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Call us if you got any questions. Email us, Team Health Masters. Be sure to stock up with the collagen peptides if you guys want to keep your body and mind strong. It's helping your brain too.
Collagen. Okay. Any kind of activity holding your cells together with collagen would be great, including brain cells.
Check it out. Give me some feedback on it. Give me some reviews on it. I don't have any reviews on this product. Hook me up with that, guys. I appreciate y'all. Have a blessed weekend. We'll talk to you on the show Monday, as always.
Love you guys.